Well, this morning I want to spend a few minutes with you talking about unlocking the full potential of your prayer life. Unlocking the full potential of your prayer life. You know, if you ever bought anything related to technology and you've tried to use the manual, right? You know, there's always a section called troubleshooting, right? When you're stumped, you go to the troubleshooting section. It tells you what to do if your electric blender or your phone or your new TV set isn't working properly. They list the problems and they list the possible solutions. For instance, the problem, well, the power light doesn't come on. Well, the solution, well, make sure the unit is plugged in, right? Make sure the unit is turned on, right? The problem, I can't get a signal. Well, make sure the cable is plugged into the back of the machine, right? Problem, well, I get sound but no picture. Well, the solution can be make sure you're not actually trying to watch the radio, you know. So it may, you know, there's easy solutions. Sometimes the solutions sound simplistic, but people who work in technical support say that the solution to more than half of their technical support calls can be found in their product's troubleshooting guide. The solution is right there in front of the customer. But the customer doesn't look at it, right? The customer prefers instead to stay on hold for half an hour listening to boring hold music, waiting for support. I know technical support a lot of times is like, what's a go-to? We'll turn it off and turn it back on. That fixes everything, right? Most of the time when the customer finally talks to a technical support specialist, it turns out that the problem was caused by the customer doing something wrong. I know that's hard to believe, I know. That's hard to believe. But did you know that this same process applies to prayer? Many people pray without results, and they say something like this. They'll say, well, see, prayer doesn't work. Or they say, listen, prayer works for the other guy, but not for me. Or they say, it's a sham, and religious people have all been deceived. People will say that. They'll say, just, it's a sham. But I'm here to tell you this morning, don't believe it. Don't believe that. And today, I'll go out on a limb and say that the problems we have in prayer are user-related. It's not the fault of the software or the manufacturer. It's our fault because many times we're not doing it right. So with this in mind, I want us to look this morning at three ways to troubleshoot prayer. You know, if your prayer life isn't working as it should be, if you pray and you don't get answers, if you pray and things don't change, here are three things that you and I may need to correct. Now, there may be more than three, but this morning we'll discuss these three. First of all, the first problem I see is this, is that we don't pray good enough. We don't pray good enough. Now, my grammar may be a little off the mark, okay? But I believe that my theology is right on target, though. What am I saying? I'm saying that we don't receive answers to our prayers because we don't ask correctly. We don't ask correctly. James 4:3 says this, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. We don't pray good enough. When I analyze my prayers, especially the ones that aren't working, right, I have to admit that the overwhelming majority are me-centered. They're me-driven prayers. God, make my life better. God, make my life easier. God, make me look good. God, give me more stuff. Because I don't have enough to keep me occupied, apparently. And so, and it's on and on and on. The Roman philosopher Cicero said, we don't pray to Jupiter to make us good, but that Jupiter might give us material things, he said. See, that's the difference between Christian prayer and pagan prayer. Biblical prayer isn't intended to be some kind of magic formula that we use to get what we want. Instead, it's intended to be a process of communication with the creator of the universe through which we learn his will and we learn what we need to change about ourselves and we learn what we need to do on behalf of others and we learn how to further the ministry of the kingdom of God. That's biblical prayer. That's what happens when you pray correctly. So if the only beneficiary of your prayer is you, then you're not praying good enough. We're not praying good enough. So it's not just a selfish motivation that sabotages our prayers. Sometimes it's the calculus disregard for others that can have the same effect. And this is what Solomon said. Proverbs 21:13. The Bible says, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. Not be answered. So if you feel like your prayers are falling on deaf ears, ask yourself, what am I not doing good enough? Am I asking only to satisfy myself? Am I ignoring the needs of others? Am I just praying for me, and ignoring everyone else? When we pray, we should ask these four things. If God grants this request, listen to me closely. If God grants my request, first of all, would it bring glory to him? If God answers my request, would it advance his kingdom? If God grants my request, would it help other people? If God grants my request, would it help me to grow spiritually? And the only correct answer is all of the above. That's a correct answer. If our prayers cannot accomplish these four things, then we're not praying good enough. We're not praying good enough. Augustine said that the purpose of prayer is not that God should be instructed, but that through prayer, we should be constructed. In other words, through our prayers, we should be shaped into the image of God's Son. Now, we've all heard this saying, right? Prayer changes things. And it's true, right? Prayer changes things. It does. Prayer changes things. The first thing it changes is you. The first thing prayer changes is me. It changes us. So if our prayers aren't working, ask yourself what you need to do to change for God to say yes to you. So we don't pray good enough. Then I would suggest that we don't pray big enough. We don't pray big enough. I'm convinced that the problem in the prayer of most churches and most individual Christians is not that we ask for too much, but in reality that we ask for too little. Now, I don't know if you've listened to what Jesus said about prayer. Matthew 21:21, Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what is done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. This is what Jesus said. This is not the Hernandez version. This is God's word. So what do we actually ask for? Well, a little bit more money. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity message this morning, okay? So just relax. Just breathe. Just you're good. What do we usually pray? Well, a nicer car that will make us the envy of the neighborhood. I want a little bit of success in my work, God. A little bit of feel good in my daily life. And that's about it. That's what we pray, right? Now, it's not that God doesn't want to give you spiritual things. And it's not that he doesn't want you to feel good and be happy. But really, it's that he wants to give you much more than those things. That's God's desire for you this morning. It's been said that if you bring a thimble to God, he'll fill that thimble. And if you bring a bucket, he'll fill the bucket. And if you come to him with a 500-gallon barrel, he will fill that barrel. Now, any material thing that you could ask for fits in a thimble, right? Anything. Those are our smallest prayers, right? But do you know what fits in a barrel? You know what type of prayer fits in a barrel? What about this type of prayer? God, give me the marriage of my dreams. God, give me a family that's closer than you ever imagined a family could be. Friends that look out for you and bring good things into your life. The ability to conquer any bad habit or any sin. The strength to stare down any adversity and to overcome any setback. A job, a career, a ministry that changes the lives of people for generations to come. The chance to leave your mark in this world and do it all with a sense of joy, a sense of fulfillment, and a sense of purpose. Those are big prayers. That is something that God desires for you. These are the things you can ask for. Why in the world would we ask for anything less? Why? Why would we ask for anything less than this? Of course, we need to ask for our daily bread, right? We need to ask for our financial needs to be met. We need to ask for material help along the way. But let's not stop there. Let's pray for big mountain moving prayers. Just like Jesus challenged us to pray. We just read that. Now, if you plan on spending the rest of your life praying little bitty prayers that don't add up to anything in terms of eternity, don't expect God to shower us with blessings. Don't expect God to shower you with blessings. Because listen to me closely. God, he's waiting for the size of your prayers and your faith to catch up to the size of his promise. God is waiting for the size of your prayers and your faith to catch up to the size of his promises. So if your prayer life isn't what it could be, ask yourself, man, am I praying big enough? Am I praying big enough? Now, here's a third troubleshooting solution, I believe, to weak and ineffectual prayers, is that we don't pray long enough. We don't pray long enough. Now, I'm not talking about you got to pray for 2 hours. No, that's not. Jesus told a story about a man who called on a friend late at night asking for a favor. Luke 11:5 says this. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. Okay, that would be my response, by the way. Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, Jesus says, that even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he says, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now, Jesus here is making only one point in this parable, okay? He's making one point. Persistence in prayer pays off. Persistence in prayer pays off. You got to be persistent. We have to be persistent in prayer. It cannot be hit and miss. This past week, my nephew Osi had this great idea. And Alex, the two, say, hey, Alex sends out a text to me and my nephew Osi and my boys. Hey, we're going to come over to my house. You guys want to come over and work out? You know, at my age, my working out is like, hey, let me go to the fridge and, you know. I mean, I like walking. I do a little bit of running, mostly walking. I thought, yeah, you know, let's go work out. So I think this was Tuesday, so we show up at Alex's house. He's got a setup, and my nephew OC had this plan set up. We'll start doing sit-ups here, do, well, I don't know, 15, and then we're going to do whatever with that wheel. I'm not sure what it's called, but I did it. And then we'll come back and do another exercise where they hold, you know, someone's holding you, you try to lift up your legs, and they try to push it down. I mean, it is a workout, right? So this is the plan. So I thought, you know, I'm going to sit on this. I'm going to kind of stand on the side and kind of watch everybody. But no, come on, you're next. Okay, well, I go on there. Man, I was doing things I didn't know I could do. And apparently making faces I didn't know I could make. And so we did that, you know, I think with three or four rounds. I kind of forget what we did. And then at the end, it was okay. The last, oh, and we did it for a straight hour. Okay, everybody take turns and for a straight hour. Then the last thing we did was that Osa says, okay, I read stats that say, guys, after you turn 30 or whatever, 35, you don't ever sprint anymore. I mean, like a full sprint. Don't ever do it. I thought, yeah, that's pretty right. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Because, well, we're going to sprint. So we came up from the back door of Alex's shop. You run, kind of run, it goes up, right? And you hit the, we're going to run, take turns, sprint. I mean, sprint as fast as you can. And you're going to, you know, go up, touch the fence, walk back. We're going to do that, I don't know how many times. It did, like, forever. Okay. So when it was my turn, I started sprinting. It felt like I was going to, like, fall forward. You know, I was like, oh, my God. So we sprinted. I mean, we did that. And we're done. I mean, I'm spent. I mean, I am tired. I'm tired. And I believe I go home and, you know, rest in the Lord. And so the next day, I think, OC sends out a text to us, hey, are you guys sore? And I wasn't really sore yet, but OC says, if it doesn't hit the next day, it'll hit 2 days later. And sure enough, Thursday, man, I'm not even kidding you. I could barely get out of bed without pain. Get up from a chair. I mean, I was sore. My abs were sore. My legs were sore. I went with Alex to Ozona on a quick trip just to go with him. I had trouble getting in and out of the truck. I was in so much pain. Man, it was painful. So I was sharing the story. I was at home, and my kids were laughing at me. I mean, were encouraging me. And but Hannah tells me, Dad, there's something that you've got to, it's not just a one-time thing. If you want it to take effect, you got to do it more. You got to do it on a regular basis. I said, what? I got to do this on a regular basis? Anyway. But when she said that, I was thinking, isn't that how prayer is? I mean, if you want it to take effect, you've got to do it on a regular basis. So Jesus follows this parable with a principle that I think we've all heard all our life. Luke 11, 9, and 10, where Jesus says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock. These verbs are in the present imperative active voice, which means ask and keep, you keep on asking. Seek and you keep on seeking. Knock and you keep on knocking. It's not a one-time event. It's an ongoing process. Prayer is an ongoing process that takes discipline. Jesus told another story, and I love how Luke sets it up. Now, I don't think we have a slide for this passage, so it's Luke 18, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice. Grant me justice." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." Man, she was pretty persistent if the judge thought that, right? And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says." He says, listen to what he just said. "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?" Jesus is making this point. His point is that persistence in prayer pays off. It pays off. I don't know, have your kids ever asked for something, such as a game or toy when they were young? And you kind of had a hunch that it wasn't really all that important to them, right? Sure enough, they would ask for it once or twice, and then they would forget about it. And you would go, yes. They would drop it. You would never hear about that toy request again. So you would conclude it wasn't really that important for them, right? They saw a toy maybe on TV, or a cousin or someone had a toy and they asked for a toy, but then they forgot about it. But when a child really wants something, they'll ask every day. And they will wear you down, right, mom and dad? They keep bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up. The more they ask, the more convinced you become that their request is based on really genuine interest, not just a passing whim. I mean, because they wear you out asking and asking. It's like, oh, okay, let me give it to you. Okay, yeah, I'll take you over there, or whatever the case may be. See, it's the same thing with prayer. I mean, there have been things that I've asked for once or twice, and then I've forgotten about them. Why? Because they were probably silly, they were superficial, and really not essential to my work in the kingdom of God. I just forgot about them. But listen, there's been other things. Financial provisions that were made after months of repeated requests. We prayed and prayed and prayed. Relationships that were healed after years of daily petitions, of daily prayer, because we prayed, "God, I need your help. God, I need you." Perhaps ministry goals reached after extended periods of persistent prayer. We prayed. Those things were important to us, so we persisted in prayer. We prayed. We kept on praying. We kept on praying. In each of these cases, church, the time spent persevering in prayer gave us the opportunity to confirm what is the will of God in this manner. It gave us the opportunity to develop our faith in God. I mean, our faith in God grew. He gave us the opportunity to develop our faith and demonstrate our determination to stay with it, to stay the course. And I believe God honors that. If something is important enough to pray about it, it's important enough to pray about it, not just once, not just twice, but as long as it takes to see it through to completion. See, if you're not experiencing answered prayer on a regular basis, maybe that you're not praying long enough. Maybe you're giving up too soon. Maybe you're saying, "Oh, God will never answer and you stop praying, not realizing that if you had kept on praying a little longer, the answer was already there, and you're almost there, but you stopped. Now, there's another reason why our prayers don't get answered, and I believe it's rather obvious. James 4, verse 2, you desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have, why? Because you don't ask. You do not have because you do not ask God. Remind me something hockey great Wayne Gretzky once said. If you're a hockey fan, you know who Wayne Gretzky is. He said this, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. You miss 100% of the shots you never take. In the same way, I believe 100% of the prayers you never make will go unanswered. 100% of the prayers you never make will go unanswered. And I guarantee you on that one. The way it plays out in my life is that when I feel like prayer has stopped working, when I believe that prayer doesn't work anymore, you know what? I tend to stop praying, right? When I'm convinced that prayer has no effect on my life, when I'm convinced that prayer has no effect on what I do on a daily basis, when I come to that conclusion, you know what? I'm going to stop praying. Why? Right? Why do I pray? But why does prayer stop working? See, it's never been a problem with a prayer. It's always been a problem with me. It's always been a problem with you. There's always something I can change to get back on track. Always. More often than not, it's not because I'm not asking good enough or big enough or often enough. A lot of times I'm just not doing it right. So if your prayers aren't being answered, I encourage you to ask yourself today, what can I change about this prayer and the motivations behind it? What changes can I make? If you're asking with the right intentions for something big enough to bring glory to God, then keep asking until the day your prayer is answered. Be persistent in your prayer. Be persistent in your prayer. Pray. Pray. You keep on praying. You never stop. You never become discouraged. You never get to the point to say, man, prayer, it just hasn't worked for me. You know, it works for everybody else. Works for my friend over there. Works for that lady at church, that young man. Works for the pastor. But prayer never works for me. I'm done with prayer. I'm not going to pray anymore. Don't allow yourself to get to that point. Don't allow yourself to get to that point. Yesterday, my wife and I went to visit my mom, and always ask us, she doesn't remember some things, but I'm always amazed at the things that she does remember. She'll ask us for the kids. Sometimes she doesn't remember me, but she'll ask for the kids. So she asks us the same question. I'm praying. That Hannah has a job that she won't have to work on weekends. I said, thank you, Mom. Keep on praying for that. And then she'll ask for people in the church. And the thing that kind of made me chuckle a little bit, that she was always asking for my in-laws. And the other day she asked me, ¿Cómo están los hermanos Rodriguez? I'm thinking, Rodriguez. Rodriguez. I'm thinking, Mom, you mean los hermanos Robles? Sí, sí, los hermanos Robles. ¿Cómo están? Están bien. Yeah, they're fine. But I think if it's something that we've learned from our parents, and maybe you learn from your parents, maybe your grandparents, is that prayer works. Many of you are here in this place this morning, and you can testify that you're here this morning, and the only reason why you're here is because your parents prayed for you or your grandparents prayed for you. That is the only reason you're in this place today. Aren't you glad your parents didn't give up? Aren't you glad your grandparents didn't say, you know what, prayer doesn't work, I'm going to stop praying? Aren't you glad your parents took a different approach, your grandparents took a different approach in praying for you? Aren't you thankful for that? So we can learn these lessons today about prayer. Don't give up. Pray big prayers. Challenge God. Pray big prayers. Be persistent in your prayer. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up.